morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday service. We're doing the remembrance of the Lord's Supper today, as is tradition here at Queenie, the first Sunday of the last month of the quarter. So I will invite us at some point after the offering and dedication to just gather around this table, and some of you who prefer to sit, please sit on the front rows. The table is set up to be completely self-served. So how it works is that there will be two groups coming from left and right. You could pick up one of these, take a piece of bread, dip it into the wine, and then go ahead and eat it, or go back to your seat and eat it there. That's how the communion service will
be. Apostle of Matthew.
The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And after he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. And then he went around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again, around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you just standing around, doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and moving on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. And each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner and said, "These who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I am generous?" And so those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. This is a difficult text to preach. The gospel story that you heard tells of a landowner who hires workers at different times of the day and pays them the same wages at the end. The reaction that comes to many is, "That's not fair. How can you give the same wages to everyone? Isn't it just common sense that those who work more should be paid more?" Last month, at Adult Sunday School, we learned that all the stories of the Bible are in some way stories about God. If that is true, then this story is about God. And the history of the interpretation of the text suggests that Jesus is teaching people of his time what God is like. And Jesus is saying, our God is a generous God. So what I get from reading the story is that the God that we know in Jesus does not think like us. This God does not do things the way we do. God's generosity knows no boundaries. And commentators who are reading this text today say that God has an irritating generosity. In this parable of Jesus about the workers, we learn that God has different standards of fairness. And the parable contradicts many of the things we would consider today as fair. But think about it for a moment. We have been taught to believe that we will get what we deserve, correct? As you sow, so shall you reap, the proverb says. In our careers, the story that we are made to believe is that if we go by the rules, if we work hard in the office, we will get recognition, we will get a pay raise, maybe we will even get a promotion. In school, we are told that if we work hard, we will receive recognition for years of work. Maybe we will graduate. If we work with the same company for many years, and for some people, they spend all of their lives with one company, the story is that you will receive recognition for all of these years of loyal service. Now, those of us who have been around the block know that that's not true anymore. Or at least it's not true all the time, especially given the present economic times that we're living in. And so when we hear about workers grumbling, we can relate to them. They don't have to be unionized. They only have to have the capacity to complain. Especially if the experiences that they have or they are getting are not what they think they deserve. We work hard when we're not given a raise. As a matter of fact, when promotion time came, we're passed over. Worse, we may even have been laid off. In school, we work long hours. At the end, we receive a grade that doesn't reflect all of the work that we have put in. We can understand the anger, the disappointment of those who work 12 hours under a hot Mediterranean sun only to be given the same as those who came in late afternoon after the sun had gone down. In the ancient world, laborers would show up in the marketplace every day, and landowners or their managers would be there waiting for them, taking them to the vineyard. And the current wage was one denarius, or denarium, as it is said in your translation, a small silver coin that was given to be the minimum daily income, or you might say the minimum wage of the time that was required to keep a small family from hunger, keep them fed and housed and clothed. And employers, those needing workers, would be there sometimes at 6, sometimes at 9. What is remarkable about the employer in the parable is that he goes every 3 hours. That he keeps going, coming back, looking for workers who are standing idle. And he offers them work as well. And you might ask, why is he doing that? Could it be that he has such a big harvest that needs all of them and more? Or could it be that this man has a generous and kind heart, that he simply cannot bear looking at people standing around when he had the ability to give them work in his vineyard? And he knows that every one of them who are standing around had families to feed. At the end of the workday, around 6 at night, the owner tells the manager to pay the workers in reverse order. So pay the ones who came in first. So you can imagine the scene. The laborers are all lined up. The first, the last. The boss tells the manager, start from those who are at the end of this line, the last ones. Gives them, let's say, $1. And the people on the other side see that, right? So the way their minds were working was, these guys are receiving $1, we should get a little bit more than that, because we were there here, some of us, 10 hours ahead of them. You can imagine the disappointment when the manager reaches the end of this line and gives them the same dollar. Upon hearing this, the workers grumble, and the vineyard owner, according to the text, says, "Friends, I have done you no wrong. Did we not agree on the usual daily wage? I chose to give to the last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do that? Or are you envious because I am generous?" And there's a little bit of a backstory around that. There's a Greek proverb that says, or translates into English like this, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" For the Greeks, jealousy was turning an evil eye on a good thing or a good person. The vineyard owner blows apart our way of thinking around entitlement. The landowner in the story is saying, "This is not a story of what you deserve or think you deserve this and how much you do or how much time you put in. This is all about my generosity, my choice to pay everybody the same." And that is where it's so difficult to wrap our heads around that. This parable is a part of a group of parables where Jesus talks about what the kingdom is like. This is how God works. Here is what it will be like in the household of God. And on the surface, it does not make sense. God is not fair. God does not play by our rules. God does not give us what we deserve. And when you think of that, you almost feel like saying, "Thank God for that. Because if God gave me what I deserve, I probably wouldn't end up with very much either." Have you ever wondered what that might be like if the rule was everybody just got exactly what they deserve? A Christian story, after we've said this many times in this church, our story is not a story of reward and punishment. God is not mad at us, and God has not sent us bad things to punish us. On the contrary, our God, if we listen deeply to our lives, we hear a different story. It's a story of a God that is good. And we say that all the time. It is a story of a God who is good, not sometimes, not once in a while, not when God feels like it, but all the time. It gives just like love gives. A love, as we sing in one of the hymns we sing in this church, a love that will not let us go. As we preached last Sunday, as we read that poem again of Footprints in the Sand, here is a God who will not leave us to crawl in the sand by ourselves, but will carry us in our moments of wilderness, so that we are not destroyed, but we are always healed. And we look at the experiences of how God favors us in spite of everything that we have been. This grace that we just sang about, or Mary sang to us, is simply amazing. "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last." I'd like to repeat that, and I have two questions for you after I repeat this. Words from the Gospel of John. On the last night, on this very night that Jesus stood by a table around his friends, he said, "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit can last." And so I ask you, why did God choose us? What did it say? I just read it to you. "I chose you so that you could go and
bring in more people.
That's a good idea, but that's not what he said. He said, so that you could go and produce fruit. That's great. That's what I have in my notes. It says, so we can experience abundant life. Because when Jesus was asked, what are you here for? What are you all about? He said, I came so that you may have life in abundance. Second question, what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit? So you could go and produce fruit, and so that your fruit could what?
Reproduce,
yeah. Maybe it will. I gotta look for fruit like that.
Yeah.
Fruit that lasts. Goodness that stays. Compassion that doesn't happen one day and then disappears another. Spirituality that doesn't happen on a Sunday and disappears on a Monday. I chose you so that you can go and bear fruit, and fruit that lasts. We receive a call, a purpose, an invitation, an offer, if you will, just like every one of those men who stood at the marketplace that day, in our language, all of them got a job offer. But the amazing thing about God's grace is that when it is offered, it also contains everything in the package that you need in order to bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. In John Newton's version of Amazing Grace, which you just heard, here's how he talks about it. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Each one receives life and purpose and everything else that is needed to sustain life and to bring purpose as we go on this journey. That is what we call in church language as grace. Grace is something that we receive, not because of what we've done, not because we deserve it, not because we work for it, but it's only because it is given out of the generosity from the heart of God, who calls each one of us beloved. So it's like this text is putting up that mirror, and it's reading us, it's suggesting that if ever we become jealous or resentful or grumbling, it's only because we have not understood how God's generosity can play out in our lives. Everything is grace. And that is not to say that God doesn't care about fairness, because God does. It's only a reminder that in the kingdom of God, love goes way beyond fairness. There is nothing that can be earned. It's all about welcome. This thing that we call holiness, what we aspire for as we walk during these 40 days of Lent, as we read the parable of the vineyard and other parables that are coming, we are reminded that following Jesus is following the way of the cross. This is how it starts. And if you read this story, if you go home and read the parable of the workers in the vineyard, you will find that in the next line it's going to talk once again about Jerusalem and how Jesus will be mocked and tortured. And by the looks of it, there is no fairness or justice there either. Jesus was a good man. He did not deserve to die the way he did. And the thief, you remember there were two thieves, one at each side. One of the thieves who were hanging there next to him said to the other, we get what we deserve for our crimes, but this man is innocent. Jesus accepted it anyway. He walked into that death with the utmost dignity and grace. In his own words, he didn't come to serve, but to serve and give his life for many. He understood that the kingdom of God is not about fair. It's about being generous. It only looks unfair most of the time because we only see the little pieces in a big puzzle that we call God. When we see the big picture and the entire story unfolds before us, it's full of happy endings. The story of Jesus is a story where love wins in the end. Grace wins. Community happens. Resurrection comes. The promise we receive says, whatever God has done in Jesus, God will do for us as well. And that, my friends, sisters and brothers, is the good news of the gospel. Praise be God. Amen.